Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mantua Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. This program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
Once again, it's so glad to be with you, and I'm so glad, and I thank the Lord that Jesus is alive and well. We're going to be studying the book of Daniel, and it is so relevant. Now, I remember when I was in school where they used to talk about prophets of God were foretellers. Well, anybody can be a foreteller. That doesn't, that's sort of a liberal idea that they just told, Castro was a foreteller, and the president can be a foreteller, and almost anybody can be a foreteller. But the prophets of God were foretellers. They told the message of God, but they told the future. And the true prophets of God told the future in detail. And they told things that were going to happen in their day, and that gave them the evidence that they were a prophet of God. But then they told things that were going to happen in the future, and that gave evidence that the Bible is the Word of God. And so we're going to be talking about the book of Daniel, and between that time, we're going to have pastors coming on as usual and talking. But we're going to start out with Daniel chapter 1, and I think Daniel is a fabulous book. It's probably studied more than most of the books of the Old Testament, and it gives incredible prophecies about the Lord Jesus Christ and about the future that affect our time, but it affects us as we live. And it has some tremendous messages. So we're going to just start and go at and talk about the thing verse by verse. Now it says, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. Now Nebuchadnezzar was a wicked king and a brutal king, and he was the king of Babylon, and he is a robber king that went to Jerusalem and just went there to steal and murder and rape and take slaves and take the loot the city with no good purpose. And he went to that city, and that was the city of God. Now, God had allowed that, and God allows trouble to come into the world to bring people to him and to spread his knowledge to the world. Now, the Jewish people were told by all of the prophets, and they were warned this over and over, if they followed God, they would be blessed more than anybody else. But if they did not follow God, that they would have the judgment and the wrath of God on them more than anybody else. So the Jewish people and the nation of Israel showed the blessing of God and also showed the judgment and wrath of God. I remember immediately comes to my mind talking to a Jewish person, and he was angry with God because of the Holocaust. But you know, if he would read his Bible, one of the things that God is saying all the way through, and from Moses on, God prophesied. He said, Moses said, if you depart from me and you step out on me and follow other gods and refuse to follow me, he says, you'll wish at night it was day, and all day you wish it was night. And he says, he goes on and on, what a horrible existence they would have. And so it has come true. When they were following God, they were the top of all the nations. When they're in rebellion against God, when they have forgot about God, they're in more trouble than anybody else. And he says their name would be a curse and a byword, people ridicule and so on. And so it's come to pass exactly like the Bible has predicted. Moses and all the prophets stated that it would happen exactly like it happened, because when the Bible speaks, it's the Word of God, and it is absolutely and totally true. So God told him, he says, you're going to be invaded. You know, you say, you don't need me? Okay, I'll leave you alone. And so what happens? This king comes in. And you see that they had a horrible invasion at this time, and it was talked about in the book of Lamentations when the women were raped and people were murdered in the streets and the place was looted, and it was just a horrible, horrible thing that happened. But they were warned about it, prophet after prophet. They said, repent, and they didn't do it. Now, it says, into his hand, with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and he brought the vessels into the treasure of the house of his God. So what happens here is then King Nebuchadnezzar comes, he besieges it, and it says he gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand. And so this king had made a treaty, and God always said, keep treaties. If you promise something, God taught them, you keep your promise no matter what. And he had already made a treaty with him that he would serve Nebuchadnezzar, but he broke the treaty. And so Nebuchadnezzar comes up, invades him, and he captures him. Now what he does, Nebuchadnezzar being a brutal king, he murders the king's son right in front of his eyes. And then he puts the eyes out of the king. Can you imagine what an awful thing that would be? Your children murdered in front of your eyes, then your eyes are put out, and you're taken and thrown into a dungeon or a prison somewhere. And then the house of God was raided of the vessels in the temple. Now, God has the last say, and you're going to see that in all of this trouble, God overrules everything, and he allows it, and he overrules it, and he works it to his good purposes. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of these eunuchs, that he would bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes. Now, right off the bat, you see that this is historical fact, because the archaeologists digging in the ruins of Babylon actually found this a clay cylinder with the name of Ashpenaz on this clay cylinder. And he was one of the cabinet of the king of Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, Ashpenaz. And so they found his cylinder in the ruins of Babylon. So this is a real actual story that took place. Now they took the king's seed. See, now God said that of the seed of the children of David someday would rule over Israel. And of course, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will yet come and rule over Israel. But you see, all through the Old Testament, the devil is attempting to destroy that seed or destroy the line of David to the line of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God is continually, through the thousands of years, protecting the seed, protecting that line, which just shows the devil can attempt to attack God, but over the thousands of years, no matter what the devil does, he tries over and over and over and over again to pollute the seed, destroy the seed, kill the seed, wipe out the seed, slave the seed. But he can't do it because God overrules every single time. And no matter what comes into your life, no matter what happens, God is in charge. And he's still in charge today. No matter what happens in the United States, God still has the last say of what is going on. And that's what this book is telling us all about. Now it says, he takes them and he says, children whom is no blemish, well-favored and skilled in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding, science and such as ability in them to stand in the king's palace, to whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. So they want to find the best of the people. And here's the guy, here's people that have, they have their doctorate in science and in all types of knowledge. It says cunning, knowledge, wisdom. They had a doctor of philosophy, in other words, we would say in our time. These are guys that were highly educated people. They were in the line of the kings of Israel that were highly educated. And they were going to stand in Nebuchadnezzar's palace as advisors to him. But that's not all. They were going to learn the tongue of the Chaldeans. They were going to be educated. You know, the devil today, he uses education, and most of it is just much of college education is to indoctrinate people against the God of the universe, the God of the King James Bible. That's what it is. And whether it's in theological seminaries or whether it is in secular colleges, much of it is just an indoctrination from philosophy to science against the truth of the God of this universe found in the King James Bible. And so they're going to educate him. They're going to teach him the language. Now, you know, to totally change the thinking of people, they have to change the language. For instance, They no longer call a baby in the mother's womb like the Bible does. He calls the babe in the mother's womb. They call it a fetus in the mother's womb. And then that's defined as a blob of tissue. So they have to change the language. They change fornication, which is sexual contact outside of marriage. And they call fornication immorality. Well, with college students today, that could simply be mean parking in a place where you're not supposed to park, you know, that, or something like that. But it's not connected with fornication. So they change, and in the modern versions of the Bible, they change the words. So the language has to be subverted so that the thinking of people can be subverted. Communism is no longer called communism, but progressivism. Or it is actually fascism today in America. It's communism, fascism, it's almost the same thing. But again, they pervert that and call people that are loyal patriots fascists, which is a lie. That's perverting the language again. So they have to indoctrinate them and pervert the language and teach them the language of the Chaldeans. Now, it says here, they taught them the learning tongue of the Chaldeans. The king appointed them daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing 3 years that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Ananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Now a number of these names, and I don't have all the name meanings of these names here, but you see that they ended in L, so that is they have God in their names. Daniel, L is a name for God. So you see, apparently they started out with godly parents that named them, wanted them to be named after the Lord so that they would follow the Lord God that was the God of Israel. And so, but they're going to change their name. Now, you know, they say that in one of the organization. What's that organization that deals with alcoholics? What's it called?
Alcoholics Anonymous.
Yeah, they say. I guess they tell the people to tell them that they're an alcoholic even after they give it up. Well, God doesn't deal that way. When we're born again, you're no longer an alcoholic because God says He delivers you from that. You're now a child of God, and God has changed your name to a child of God. You're born again. And He has given you a new name. And, you know, you need to think of yourself when you get saved as a child of God. Now, somebody says, well, we're all child of God. Well, you don't get that in the Bible. That's man-made teaching. We're created by God in the first place, but our creation, we're a son of Adam, but the image of God was marred when Adam sinned. And men were born after Adam's image, and that image, although he had the image of God, it was marred when he sinned. So we take the image of Adam. And so, but when we are saved, it says we become a child of God through faith in Jesus Christ. We are all children of God through faith in Jesus Christ. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God. And so we need to think of ourselves as a child of God and act accordingly and start living like Jesus Christ lives, and start serving Him. Now unto the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar. Now what he's going to do is rename him after the gods of Babylon. He wants them to totally adopt the thinking, the names, the religion of Babylon at that time. And unto Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and to his Azariah Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now, God had given the Jewish people kosher laws. One of them was that they're not supposed to eat pork or hamburgers or pig meat. And they were advised not to drink wine. It says, drink not the wine when it is red and so on, you know. And so, and they had other kosher restrictions of stuff that was not healthy and stuff that God had told them not to eat. And so Daniel says that he purposed in his heart that he would not eat this stuff. And, you know, that's the thing that young people, and I was talking to them yesterday, they need to purpose in their heart. Any successful person has a goal and purposes to achieve that goal. If you become a doctor, you have to purpose that you're going to work to the goal of being a doctor. When the other people are out there having a good time and fooling around and partying and so on, you're going to be studying to get your doctor's degree. And it takes quite a number of years, and it's a very difficult course to achieve. And whatever success you have in life, it's going to be based on a purpose and that you decide to do, and you stick to that purpose. You know, any old dead fish can float down the stream. So if you're going to go with the crowd isn't too wise. You know, the crowd today with the liquor, there's, I know people all over that have either died because of the alcohol, or people that even smoke cigarettes. I see people died all around it because they smoke cigarettes. And I get personal. My brother died because he's smoking cigarettes. You know, and they said on television, your chances of getting cancer are 50% more through cigarettes, of getting cancer. And another beautiful lady I knew that I saw her in a coffin. You know, she smoked. And Daniel says, no, I purpose, it's not wise. You know, I think the devil, the Bible says he came to steal and to destroy and to kill. Well, I don't think he can kill you outright unless God gives permission, but he gets into your brain. And because everybody else does it, you go along with the dead fish and float down the stream and go right over the cliff or go right down the stream. Or you like, it reminds me of a herd of buffalo. You know, you snort three times, you stampede and go right over the cliff. You know, you follow the crowd. If you are going to live for God, you're not going to follow the crowd because the crowd's going in the wrong direction. The crowd's going to hell. But you're going to say, this is right. This is what God says. This is what will bless me. This is the way of righteousness. This is the way of blessing for me. And so at this point, Daniel then, he doesn't fight, but here's the king's cabinet members, and the king's cabinet member was responsible for feeding Daniel. So Daniel makes a request. He doesn't fight with him. He just says, listen, he says to him, would you give me an opportunity to eat some vegetables? I guess Al is pulse vegetables. That's what I thought. Yeah, just have vegetable soup, you know, and eat according to our kosher laws. Would you allow me to do this and then see how I look after that? The king says, the Ashpenaz says, well, you know, if you don't look good, you know, Nebuchadnezzar could take off my head. He could kill me, you know. And Daniel says, well, let me just try this and see. So Daniel purposes in his heart. He decides no matter what the cost, he's going to follow the Lord. Then it says, he says, I beseech thee 10 days and let them give us else to eat, water, and drink. Then let our countenances be looked upon before thee and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat, and as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So you just compare the other people that eat what the king gives and compare us. And he consented to them in this matter and proved them 10 days. Now you didn't fight with them. It's a good test, just 10 days. At the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat of the portion of the king's meat. You know, if the pulse is vegetables, boy, vegetables have all the vitamins and minerals. Sometimes when I read books on the value of eating the vegetables, it's just astounding all the medicine that are in those vegetables God put there. And when I think God said, I'm the Lord thy God that healeth thee, one of the primary ways is through eating vegetables. If you don't eat them, man, you can get sick. And so meat in the Bible, in the King James Bible, generally refers to food, you know. So anyway, they look better right away. So right away, when they decide to serve the Lord, what happens? God begins to bless them. And the message here is you serve God, and God is going to bless you over and over again. Thus Melzer took away the portion of the meat and the wine that they should drink and gave them, Paul says, for the four children God gave them knowledge. Now, first, they look better. They're healthier. God helps. God works on their health. Do you know that the Bible says when you read the Bible, it'll be good for your physical body, your health of your flesh, by reading the Bible? It says, so God gives them knowledge. First of all, they get wiser than other people, skill in learning and wisdom. They become better in learning. They can learn faster than the other people around them. They get the better in philosophy, wisdom. Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. So he begins to understand things that other people do. You know, the visions and dreams are given, God gave him his word that way. You see, when you know the word of God, you know more than your teachers do at school, because many of the philosophies of men just lead to destruction. I mean, they have destroyed mankind through their philosophies. And so now at the end of days, the king had said he should bring them in. And the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar, and the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king, and in the matter of wisdoms and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians, all astrologers who were in all the realms. Daniel continued even unto the first year of King Cyrus. Now, this is the beginning. All of a sudden, they're smarter. They know more. They have more wisdom. They have more understanding than everybody around them. Now, all through the book of Daniel, God begins to bless them. And over and over and over again, he is blessing them. And I want to say as a personal testimony, when I was young, I'm going to admit, I was just a C student, and I wasn't that good looking or had that much personality. But I'm going to tell you, that God, I decided to live for God. And the Bible says, seek ye first the things of the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. And what I'm going to tell you, none of them I worked for, none of them I applied for, I didn't have the ability for them, I thought, but they were given to me, just handed to me. And the first thing off, I get a job. That was just handed to me. And I worked at that job until they started laying off, and so my number came. I got laid off. I went to Akron that weekend. I came back, went to sleep, rested up, went to my aunt's house, prayed about it, walked back in. Everybody else is laid off. I walked back into the job, and this tough-looking boss comes up to me. What are you here for? I says, I came back to work. He says, go in the other room and sit down. He comes out, and I worked the rest of the summer. That's God that did that. I went to school, you know, and I was working during school, but I owed a debt when I got out of school. Guy comes up to me and says, what do you owe? You know, no, he says, I'll pay that. You know, he pays off my college tuition. Who did that? That was God. I graduated from seminary. You know, I never went to the church of this denomination, and I didn't attend that kind of church, you know, but they just said, would you like to pastor this church? So they gave me a church just like that. I didn't ask for it. So they gave me a church. I pastored the church. And I could just say on and on and on. Things happen like that. I get out of college. I was just concerned about a job, you know, and I was thinking about that. And keeping a job and everything. Somebody comes up out of the clear blue sky, hires me on, you know, and I worked there half my life practically, you know, at that job, you know. And I was thinking, even for you young people, I didn't think I was that. I wasn't the kind of guy that gals went after. My brother did. He was a ladies' man. Man, they really went after him, but they left me. They sort of forgot about me, you know. And I went to school. My roommate had this, he was a photographer, he had this beautiful gal there, his girlfriend, up on the wall. And I thought, man, is she pretty, you know. So I went home one weekend. She called me up and asked me to go to youth rally, and I didn't think much of it. I just thought she needed a ride. When she got there, you know, we separated, and then she came up. She said, would you sit with me? I thought, well, yeah. Or what? She says, could I sit with you, you know? And I says, yes. I said, wow. And so he dropped her, and I had a lot of good time with her, spiritual and good to be around. And I could just say my life is full of things like that. I was invited to go on a radio program, and I had a news program that covered all of North America. It's just given to me, and my life has been like that. Why? God bless me. He'll bless you, too.
You've been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantua Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantua Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at this same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.